staring at their phones, watching inane videos made by degenerate profligates. And kids don't even play outside anymore. At least when I was a kid, we used to get some physical exercise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continues to say in the same tradition, وَيُلْقَى الشُّحْ, that avarice, extreme avarice, will descend. This kind of insatiable desire for wealth and power and money. Or as they say, just do you. This is what higher education has become. The aim, the telos, the objective now of higher education in many of these colleges and universities is power. It's not knowledge. And the method is protest. It's not study. So young people are becoming more ignorant, more angry, and more ungrateful. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he expands on the meaning of al-haraj in another hadith. In a hadith in Muslim, لا تذهب الدنيا حتى يأتي على الناس يوم لا يدري القاتل فيما قتل ولا المقتول فيما قتل. This ajib hadith. When I first read this hadith, I didn't know what it meant, and then I had a real life experience explaining it to me. This is a true story. I mentioned this in another masjid and I caught some flack for it, but it's okay, I'm used to being criticized. That I gave a lecture one time in a college in the LA area, and the topic was basic intro to Islam or something like that. And I noticed there were a lot of non-Muslims there. And there was a man there, non-Muslim, turns out he was a Catholic. He was sitting there and was listening to me. And I can tell from his visceral reactions to what I was saying that he wasn't agreeing with me a whole lot. And at one point he almost got up and like he was going to throw the chair or something. His girlfriend or wife had to calm him down. I don't know what I was saying that was so... I was giving a basic talk. But anyway, I was talking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of my talk. And I recited the ayah, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O my slaves who have transgressed against their own souls, never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I noticed that this gentleman, he started weeping profusely. And then after the talk, we had sort of an informal gathering on the stage, just the MSA, and this man was there, he was listening. And I said, can I help you? And he said, you know, I disagreed with most of what you said in your talk. I said, that's fine. But then he said, you said something that struck my heart. I said, what is that? And he said, that verse you recited, never despair of the mercy of God. I said, why did that strike a chord with you? And he said, I have to confess, I've killed many of your brothers. I was in the military. This is what he told me. I was in the military, I've killed many of your brothers. Will God forgive me? And I said, well, you have to try to make restitution as best as you can. And there's something called tawbah. And according to our theology, if one makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. And he said, yeah, but it made him feel better. But then he said, yeah, but I killed children. So I said, why did you do that? And he said, I was ordered to. This is what he's telling me. I was ordered to. I said, so what? Why did you do it? And then he just said, I don't know why I did it. And you know, people like this, they commit suicide 23 times a day. People go overseas and they fight these wars. لا يدري القاتل فيما قتل. The person who's killing doesn't know why he's doing the killing. So my message is, be a peacemaker. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was invited to Medina because he was a peacemaker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the lifeline of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't sectarize. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. And remember the ni'mah of Allah. And many of the exegetes say here that the ni'mah is a reference to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember the blessing of God when you were enemies. The Aus and the Khazraj, they would fight civil wars, endless civil wars. And they called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina because he was a peacemaker. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put love in your hearts by means of his ni'mah, by means of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you became brethren. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. You were on the brink of falling into the fire. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. Then he saved you from that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a peacemaker. When his city was attacked, he defended the city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Fight those who are fighting you, but don't go to extremes. Allah does not love the extremists. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Permission is given to those who are being wronged. Permission is given to those who fight to fight because they have been wronged. He defended his community, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not a violent man, but sometimes he was a man of violence. And there's a difference here, and we should explain it. I would not characterize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the adjective that he was a violent man, but he did engage in violence. In other words, sometimes measured violence, tempered by restraint, is necessary in order to create peace, but it should be avoided at all costs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him, وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسِّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If your enemy inclined towards peace, you must incline towards peace and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was in Medina. This was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was head of state. That's his responsibility. In Mekkatul Mukarramah, his method was assertive nonviolence. He was absolutely nonviolent, completely nonviolent, but assertively nonviolent. He was a principled man. Some of the ulama look at this, they divide the life of the Prophet ﷺ into what they call Isawi and Musawi, or Christic and Mosaic periods. That in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ resembled Isa alayhi salam, assertive nonviolence. In Medina, he was like Musa alayhi salam. He would defend the city within humane rules of engagement. The Prophet ﷺ was a voice for the voiceless. He defended the weak. One of the first things that he spoke out against was female infanticide. Wa'adul banat, specifically the killing of little girls, or generally the killing of children by their parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق. Don't kill your parent, don't kill your children out of fear of poverty. This is still happening today on a massive scale. We just use a different name, makes us feel better, removes the guilt. It's framed as a right, as a haq. This is my right, a reproductive right. This is the hallmark of Satanism. Satanism, according to satanic texts. I've studied Satanism. I'm a professor of comparative religion. Nothing pleases the shaitan more than the killing of children by their parents. Nothing slakes the bloodlust of shaitan more than the blood of children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muntaqim. He is the avenger. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that that little girl that was buried alive, that was killed by her parents, mother or father, what have you, she's going to be asked for what crime she was killed. The governor of California signed a law just recently, requiring UCs and CSUs, these are schools our children go to, UCs and CSUs required to provide abortion pills to children on demand, free, no questions asked. Required. So instead of cultivating an environment of virtue and self-restraint and responsibility, one that values human life, they're advocating hedonism, irresponsibility, and the culture of death. This is satanic. Wallahi, this is satanic. Can you imagine a mother being asked on the Yom al-Qiyamah, why did you kill your child? Why did you kill your daughter? Because she was an inconvenience. It inconvenienced me. After all, I have to go to cheerleading practice. Hey, my body, my choice. The credo of toxic femininity. If we're going to talk about toxic masculinity, then we have to be balanced. Let's talk about toxic femininity. And good luck with that response on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. No, not your body. Not your body. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the East and the West. That's a euphemism. That means that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't own anything. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi. This lamb is called lamb of tamlik, the lamb of ownership. Indeed, we belong to Allah. We belong to Allah. We can't do anything we want, everything we want. And to Allah is our return. If it's really your body, if you own your body, then prevent your body from dying. If you have full autonomy over your body, prevent your own death. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates life and takes life. وهو على كل شيء قدير. He has power over all things. I'll tell you an apocryphal story. One of my teachers told me an apocryphal story about Isa alayhi salam. That one time Isa alayhi salam was passing through a wasteland with the Hawariyun. And then he saw a human skull on the ground. And he stopped and he kicked it with his foot and he said, تَكَلَّمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Speak by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, identify yourselves to my disciples. And the skull began to speak. And the skull said, I was a king. I was a king once. I was sitting on my throne. I was holding my scepter. I was clad in my purple robe. My crown was on my head. I was surrounded by my servants. I was in my royal throne room. Then suddenly the angel of death appeared before me. Oh, would that I have sought solitude with my Lord. Oh, would that I had sought a personal relationship with my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I took nothing of that from me. Look at me now. We don't own anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner. So we need to be principled people. We need to forget about this type of identity politics. We need to defend ideas. Defend the tradition. Defend Allah and His Messenger. Defend the people of principle and faith. We need to stop trying to find these quote-unquote allies among deviant, power-hungry social groups whose beliefs and practices are diametrically opposed to the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah is sufficient. Allah and His Messenger in the community of believers. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, your true allies, if you want to use that term, your true friends are Allah and His Messenger in the community of believers. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Those who establish the prayer and give charity while they bow down. وَمَا يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Whoever turns to Allah and His Messenger in the community of the believers, for indeed it is the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The party of Allah, that party that gives victory to Allah and His Messenger and to the tradition. This is the party that will gain victory. I'm not talking about some political faction that's co-opted these terms in the Quran. I'm talking about the spiritual party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who gives Allah and His Messenger and the tradition. The spiritual party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give them victory. Allah says, give me victory, I'll give you victory. How can you give Allah victory? You give Allah priority in your life. Life is too short to be a sellout. Don't sell out your ethics, your morality, your theology. It is spiritually healthy to be self-checking, to be self-auditing. The Sahaba feared hypocrisy. They feared nifaq. خَيْرُ النَّاسْ قَرْنِي. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best people is my generation. The best spiritual generation, the most highest level of spirituality are those closest to the Prophet ﷺ. And they would fear hypocrisy. They would constantly work on strengthening their iman, strengthening their character. The Prophet ﷺ told one of his companions, Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, he gave him a list of the munafiqeen in Medina. He said, check on these people, tell me what they're doing. He gave the list to him. He's the keeper of the secrets of the Messenger of Allah. During the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, he came to Hudhayfa and he said, am I on the list? He said, what? Of course not. You're Umar. He said, oh, come on. Give it to me straight. Am I on the list? He said, of course not. You're Umar. This is from the tawadu of Sayyidina Umar. This is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man who's buried next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man feared nifaq, he was self-checking. These are our examples. Years ago when I read in the Quran how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the prayer of the munafiqeen, it scared me to death. I was scared straight because I had some of those qualities. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? When we read these ayat, stop putting ourselves in the shoes of the hero, as it were. Maybe we have Fir'aunic tendencies. Maybe when we read these things about Fir'aun, maybe we see ourselves in those things. We should self-reflect. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they stand to prayer, they're lazy suddenly. A lot of zeal when it comes to other issues. When they're working at their computer, or when they're engaging in sin, people have a lot of zeal. But suddenly stand up for prayer and they're lazy. This is boring. They start yawning, looking at their watch. What? Yura'un Allah. To be seen of men, they have riyah when they stand to pray. Oh, I'm just kind of doing this because my father expects me to pray. My wife expects me to pray. You know, I'm here, everyone's, I just pray, you know, let them know that I pray. It's called riyah. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they don't remember Allah except for a little bit. What does it mean, dhikr, to remember Allah? Does it mean that someone really can forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama say here, this means to have regards for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me so that I remember you, the meaning is, have regard for me. Put me first. Prioritize me. Make your life theocentric, so that I might prioritize you and put you at the center of my tawfiq, of my providence. But these people, they remember Allah a little bit when it suits them, and then they forget about Him, meaning they disregard Him when it doesn't suit them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the context of describing hypocrisy, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will be a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect all of them. فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they will swear to you, and they will swear to him as they swear to you. Just as the munafiqeen, they used to swear to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're with you, we're on your side, we submit to you, we have taslim to you. They will swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Supposing that they have some standing, وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. Indeed, they are liars. They always knew what they were doing. In their conscience. The word conscience is a good word. Con means with, and science means knowledge. They have knowledge of what they're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the munafiqeen in another ayah in the Quran. When they meet the believers, they say, we believe. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ مَعَكُمْ. But when they meet with their shayateen, and the ulama say here, many of the exegetes say here, that the meaning here is shayateen from the ins, from human beings. When they meet with their little secret groups, they say, we're with you, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. We were just joking around with those guys, those believers. We're just kind of jesting with them. What happened to them? إِسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaytan has overwhelmed them. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. For he caused them to forget, to disregard the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disregard it, they discount it. One of the names of the Quran is a dhikr. Dhikrullah, par excellence, is the Quran. People who disregard, people who mock the Quran. I know people who identify as Muslim and quote unquote progressive, who literally laugh at the Quran. I've seen it with my own eyes, many, many times. Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura. Oh my people, indeed, they have taken this Qur'an as foolish nonsense. This is happening. Ulaika hizbu shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people who have been overwhelmed by shaytan. These people who have forgotten or discounted the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the party of shaytan. They are the party of shaytan. Inna hizba shaytani humul khasirun. Indeed, the party of shaytan are those who are losers. There was a Muslim once who emailed me and said, I have a relative who's running for public office. Can you advertise them on your social media platforms? I said, I don't have social media, but I have a lot of teachers that have a very large presence. But just one thing, what are his stances on abortion and sodomy? What are his stances on abortion and sodomy? And they said, well, pro-choice, and they believe in non-traditional marriage. Okay, so you want me to vote for shaitan? You want me to vote for shaitan or iblis? Which one? Yeah, we laugh because it's ironic. That's right. But it's not comedically funny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one time in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is uswatun hasana. He's a beautiful example. He says it one time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at least 15 times in the Quran about Satan, shaitan, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. He is a clear and open enemy to you. It's not a joke. Clear and open enemy. There's a Catholic theologian who said the greatest trick that Shaitan ever pulled was tricking the masses that he didn't exist, was convincing the world that he didn't exist. We should take this seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mince words. He's mentioning this 15 times in the Quran. There's a reason for that. When you say, well, at least he's Muslim, this person who's running for public office. Yeah, but a Muslim should know about the maqasid of the sacred law. These are our principles. They should abide by our principles. There are Christians who abide by the maqasid. There are Christians who believe in freedom of religion, freedom of life, of intellect, freedom of wealth and property, freedom of lineage. Why can't we? We should really align ourselves with devout people, with devout members of Ahlul Kitab. These are people of faith. These are people of maqasid. These are people of principle. These are people of Abrahamic morality. If you're going to make alliances with people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come together as a united front to stand against deviants who want to implement incredible types of curriculum. First graders reading a book called My Princess Boy. This is a very popular book. First graders read this book. I get emails. My Muslim child, 7 years old, is reading a book called My Prince's Boy, promoting delusion, mental illness, cross-dressing in children. Subhanallah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحَادُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْأَذَلِّينَ. Those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, they will be brought low. They are abased. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُولِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is already decreed that my messengers and I will be victorious. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah is omnipotent and He is great. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ. You will not find a people who believe in Allah and His Messenger, who love those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ. Even if they be their fathers, أو أبناءهم, or their children, أو إخوانهم, or their brothers, أو عشيرتهم, or their tribe. It's not about identity, tribe and clan and cultures. It's about ideas. Defend our ideas, good ideas, moral ideas. One time in the masjid, these two brothers were arguing, is my country better than your country? They turned out from the same country. Oh, my province is better than your province. They're from the same province. Oh, my side of the neighborhood, wallahi, my side of the neighborhood better than your neighborhood. They're from the same neighborhood. My street's better than your street. We have less gutters. أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَيَّدْهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed upon their hearts faith, and He has helped them with a spirit from Him. And the ulama say one of the meanings of ruh here is the Qur'an itself. He helps them with the Qur'an, revelation. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. This is the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Indeed, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the ones who will prosper. These are the ones who will prosper. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the prosperous ones. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَتُوبُوا عَلَيْنَا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله المصطفى وعلى ساداتنا وإمتنا أبي بكر عمر عثمان وعلي ورضي الله تعالى عن أصحاب رسول الله أجمعين. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أن نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا الشر ما قضيت. اللهم إنا نسألك بنور وجهك الكريم وبحقك عليك حسن الخاتمة عند الممات لنا ولأحبابنا ولجميع المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إن كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إن كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إن كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا مقلب القلوب الأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مقلب القلوب الأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك وصلى الله على سيد محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين وقيم الصلاة لذكر الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.